Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something coach, and I'm so happy to be here today talking to you about one of the most important and impactful relationship topics, which is setting boundaries. So, as I said, I'm Carrie Spaulding, and I'm the 30-something coach. And what I do is I help 30-somethings who aren't where or who they thought they'd be with their careers and their relationships and their lives. And often my clients are experiencing what I call 30-something panic, and they're feeling like they should have figured it all out by now. So what I do is I help them use that panic as a catalyst to create what they want in their lives. And sometimes that involves navigating big transitions, like career changes or breakups or big moves. And I also help 30-somethings create and nurture healthy and satisfying relationships, and setting boundaries is a huge part of that. Another passion of mine is supporting parents with building a positive home or school culture and navigating children's social and emotional challenges and positive and effective communication, and setting boundaries definitely comes into that too. So I'm very excited to talk to you about how to set boundaries today. I live in Philadelphia, and I do most of my coaching over the phone, which means that I'm lucky enough to work with people all over the world. And you can check out my website at www.carriespaulding.com. That's CarrieSpaulding.com. And you can also sign up for free tips and tools. I send things out pretty much every week. And there's a place to sign up for that on my website at CarrieSpaulding.com. And you can also connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach. 30-something written out, no spaces, no numbers. And I'm also on Twitter at Spaulding Carrie. So I really love to connect with my 30-something tribe, and I'm looking forward to talking to you today about boundaries. So today we're going to explore what gets in the way when we're trying to set boundaries, what makes it so hard, and how healthy boundaries impact our relationships, whether those are our professional relationships, our personal relationships. We're going to talk about how to get ready to set a boundary, so just how to prepare yourself. We'll talk about how to communicate your boundaries, strategies to use when the boundary you set is tested or ignored, and how to actually follow through and maintain your boundaries once you've set them. I'm going to give you some exercises to put what you learn into action and some things for you to think about. And during the show, you can call in with questions or comments. The number to do that is 646-716-9397. And I also have chat activated, so you are welcome to jump into the chat as well. So right now, think about a particular area in your life in which you'd like to be better at setting boundaries. Or maybe it's a particular relationship. So maybe you're thinking about with your career, with your dating life, with how you give your time away and how you use your time. Maybe it has to do with email communication. What kind of boundaries do you have over email? Or maybe you're specifically thinking about the boundaries that you set with your partner or with your friends or with your parents or with your colleagues. So what's interesting is that whether it has to do with saying yes to projects or activities that you know you don't have time for, or maybe you find yourself answering texts and emails at 2 a.m. because you feel like you just can't make people wait. Maybe you feel like you can't even fall asleep until you've cleared out your inbox. Or maybe it's about struggling to kind of keep space and privacy in a new relationship. So it has to do with, you know, letting new people quickly take up all your time and all your mental space before they've actually been in your life long enough to earn your trust and earn that kind of attention. So many people struggle with setting boundaries. And I can tell you that as a coach, almost every single client that I've ever worked with and continue to work with at one time or another struggles with setting boundaries or struggles with keeping boundaries. It's really, really normal. It's a challenging thing to do. So it's not just about setting the boundaries. It's about setting, communicating, and maintaining the boundary. And it's about respecting the boundaries that other people set. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. You get to decide where your line is. You get to decide what you're comfortable with. And something that is really important right off the bat, and I'm going to repeat it in a couple of different ways through our show today, no one else can set or communicate your boundaries for you. No one can do it for you. I can give you some tips today to help you do it for yourself, but the fact is that no one can set or communicate or maintain our boundaries for us, and sometimes we expect them to, which leads to resentment. And resentment is relationship poison. So I'll tell you a little story about my own huge aha around boundaries. This was many years ago, and it really transformed my life in a lot of different ways. But the way I'm going to talk about today is just sort of the way I thought about boundaries and sort of whose job it was. So many years ago, I had a colleague, wonderful colleague, somebody that I really respect and care for quite a bit. But I had a colleague who wanted to spend a lot of time on things that I didn't. And these were things that, and I think if she were here, she would agree, these were kind of optional extra things. These were not nuts and bolts. These were not things that were necessary. But I didn't feel comfortable saying, I don't want to give my time to this. You know, I want to go do something else, or I want to go home, or I'm more focused on another project. And this went on for almost a year, this kind of dynamic where she would start working on a project and she wouldn't be demanding that I help her, but I felt guilty setting a boundary and saying, you know, I'm gonna go home, or I'm gonna go work on something else, because I could see that she was working and I wanted to be collaborative and I wanted to be helpful. And over time, some tension grew in our working relationship because of this, and I was really struggling with it by the end of that year, and I was feeling resentment about sort of feeling like my time was being taken for things that I didn't want to be spending it on, and I was feeling guilty because I value being a hard worker, and so I felt frustrated at the idea that I might, you know, if I were to say I'm not going to work on this, how that might come across. And I ultimately ended up taking a really hard look at what my contribution to this whole situation was. A book that really helped me, just isn't a by the way, is called Difficult Conversations. It's a really interesting book. And one of the things that it talks about is hard to spot boundaries. I mean, hard to spot contributions to a difficult dynamic. So maybe if it's really hard for you to see where you might be coming into a challenging situation. Highly recommended. So I was reading this book, and it was talking about sort of hard-to-spot contributions, and I believe that one of them had to do with, you know, kind of not communicating your own needs, or not taking responsibility. So at any rate, I realized that my contribution to this dynamic was that I didn't want to take the responsibility of saying no. It would have been so much more comfortable for me if my colleague could read my mind, and I didn't want to have to make myself vulnerable enough to draw a boundary. And so this went on for a really long time. The minute I realized that this was my contribution and I decided that I was going to take responsibility for my own boundaries, it's really actually incredible the way that our whole relationship shifted, because there was so much good in it. There were so many good things happening, but this was draining it. So I didn't want to seem lazy. I didn't want to seem like I didn't care. I didn't want to seem like I didn't want to help or collaborate or work hard. But when I was able to say, no, this isn't where I want to spend my time, and of course I said it in a way that was appropriate, and that was, you know, I spent some time thinking about it. And just in general, when I started becoming more able to draw a boundary or say, this is how much time I have to spend on this project, or this is how much time I have right now, it relieved so much of the tension that had begun to build in the relationship. And this turned into one of my hugest personal communication ahas of my life. And what I learned from that situation is that it's my job to communicate my boundaries clearly and respectfully. It's your job to communicate your boundaries clearly and respectfully. It's other people's job to respect those boundaries. And if they don't, it's appropriate for you to maintain your boundaries and to kind of hold your boundaries. We teach people how to treat us. We teach people what to expect from us. And it's really unfair to expect other people to read our minds or anticipate our boundaries or draw our own boundaries for us. So we can get into this victim energy of, you know, they're making me do this, or they're always a burden on me, or whatever it might show up like for you. And victim energy is not a very powerful or free place from which to live your life. So I share my own story in part because I really want to make sure that, you know, when you're listening out there, you know this is just such a common challenge, and it's kind of a sneaky one because it's really easy to get into a mindset that somebody else is doing something to you or walking all over you or trampling you. And in some cases, yes, somebody else might be sort of knowingly taking advantage of you. That's certainly possible. But in many cases, when people are feeling this way and expressing that feeling of being walked all over and, you know, why can't I stand up for myself, it's an indication that even setting boundaries and the idea of setting and maintaining a boundary is a real challenge for you. So the good news is that there are strategies that you can use, and this is an area that you can definitely grow and develop. And I myself, many years ago when this whole thing, the story I just told you happened, I realized how much it changed that one relationship. And from that point on, I kind of made a promise to myself that I was going to take care of my own responsibility for my boundaries. And it's made a really big difference in relationships. So where not setting boundaries shows up might be different for different people. It's often showing up in professional situations. Maybe you're giving your time away, right? Maybe you're working for free if you have your own business and you have people who kind of are taking, I've had a lot of conversations lately, interestingly enough, with people who are having to really set a boundary around their professional projects. Maybe it has to do with answering your work emails at 3 a.m., like we talked about before. Maybe it's in your personal life, maybe in terms of letting somebody flood your life or flood your heart, your attention when you've just met, or oversharing, or, you know, there are so many ways that this can show up. You also have to be able to set boundaries with yourself. So it's interesting. We sometimes don't think of these things as boundaries, but think about things like getting enough sleep or turning off the TV at a certain time, or maybe the Hulu or the Netflix. I know that those are the things that get me. Or going to the gym. We may not think of these things as boundaries, but they are, in a sense that we've created a boundary around our own time, and sometimes it's hard to respect our boundaries that we set with ourselves as well. Improving in one area will have a ripple effect in the other areas. So in other words, if you can enhance your ability to maintain your boundaries with yourself, that's going to show up with other relationships as well. It's really about being at choice with how you spend your time and your attention and your energy. And integrity, right? Can you do what you say that you're going to do, whether that's something you say to you or say that to somebody else? So why is it so hard to set boundaries? Well, one thing is that we're pleasers. We want to take care of other people. We want to make them feel good. Also, we really might love or care about others, and when we see that they have a need, some of us feel the need to caretake. It's really hard to say no when somebody else is in need. It's also sometimes true that sense of being needed and in demand and having somebody rely on us can be kind of addictive. It gives us a sense of love and belonging and connection, even if that's not showing up in a really healthy way. So some of us do sort of exaggeratedly have this idea that, you know, the world will stop spinning if we don't answer these emails tonight. And when we check that out, rarely is it true. I might go so far as to say never is it true, but so often we can tell ourselves that we're needed. It's so important that we get on that right now. We're also sometimes afraid to be thought selfish or uncaring or greedy. Right? That showed up for me a lot in the story that I shared with you. We want people to like us, and we're afraid that, you know, it's not nice to set a boundary, or if we say no, then somebody might think badly of us or give us a label that we don't like. Or we might be living or working in a culture of poor boundaries. So some organizations run on boundary pushing. And some organizations, sort of have a norm expectation of everybody constantly, you know, running on the wheel and respond right away. And if you're a leader of an organization and you're answering emails at 4 a.m, it might be setting a model for other people in the organization to feel they need to do the same. Families or little organizations that can have a culture of poor boundaries as well. So it's understandable that it's hard to set boundaries, particularly if the other people in your life are also struggling with it. So the thing is that not setting boundaries hurts us and our relationships. So here are some of the challenges with not setting boundaries. And if you're on the chat, I invite you to throw in any of your own that you've noticed. One thing is it can lead to overpromising. So we want to be able to say yes to everything. And so think about when have you said yes to something, whether it's a project, a professional project, or a meeting, or to help your friend out with something, and you did it knowing that you didn't really have time. So sometimes this can result in overcommitting and underperforming. So because you've committed to too much, you're doing a poor job on the things that you promised, or in some cases, you may not even be following through. So you say yes, and then you're not able to deliver because there's just 24 hours in the day, and you've said yes to so many different things. Another thing is that not setting boundaries can lead to festering resentment and sometimes passive aggression. And so in this case, you know, saying yes when we really mean no and we'd like to say no, and feeling resentment, why doesn't that person see that this is not reasonable to ask me? It can also impact our effectiveness and our health. So not setting boundaries shows up in exhaustion, stress. It impacts our overall well-being, kind of our emotional, spiritual well-being, and our health. So when we don't set boundaries, we often end up cutting down on sleep. We cut down on downtime, which is so crucial. We cut down on exercise, things that, you know, that nourish our bodies. Or maybe we're saying yes to so many things during the day that we're not taking the time to eat nourishing food. There are so many ways that not setting boundaries ends up impacting your overall well-being. Not setting boundaries also hurts us in our relationships because it makes us poor models. So if you're a leader, maybe you're a parent, it is crucial that you model good boundaries. This is one way that you can be a model for your children or your team, if you're a leader, you know, in a professional sense, your employees. It's a way that you model for them and you take better care of them ultimately. We're going to talk in a minute about sort of how setting boundaries and maintaining them actually really helps the people that you care about and yourself. So as understandable as it is, we've talked now about how it's your job to set boundaries and nobody else can do it for you, why it's hard, and where some of the challenges can show up. And we've talked about how not setting boundaries hurts us in a relationship. So now we're going to talk about how setting boundaries actually helps. One thing is that we can do a good job on the things that we do say yes to because we're not overcommitted and we're managing our time effectively. So we're able to really be present for whatever thing that we said we would do because we haven't overextended ourselves. Another thing is that it means that we're not feeling resentment. If we're able to say no when we need to say no, when saying yes for whatever reason is not a good idea, then we're at peace in our relationships. We don't have that kind of resentment festering, and we're not being passive-aggressive. We're being direct. We're being honest. We're being respectful. So our relationships are built on integrity and honesty and respect when we set good boundaries, and it's mutual respect because it's a kind of respect to honor a boundary, absolutely, but it's also a kind of respect to speak the truth and to convey your boundaries honestly rather than leave somebody else guessing or with partial information. We're also healthier and happier generally when we set good boundaries. We talked about our health and well-being and the things that we cut back on when we don't set boundaries, when we're taking time for ourselves, when we're sleeping, when we're not running, working through our lunch hour answering emails, because we're really honoring that boundary and we're taking the time to eat a healthy lunch or to go out for a jog or whatever it is, we're healthier and we're happier. And healthy, happy people are better to be in relationships with, whether that's a professional relationship or whether it's a personal relationship. So you're actually doing a service to the people in your life when you set good boundaries. When we set good boundaries, we're also good models. So what if you're a leader in an organization or if you're a parent, we talked about this a minute ago, if you're setting healthy boundaries, you're teaching your people to set good boundaries. You're teaching your children by example. Kids are little mirrors. Or you're teaching the other people in your organization. And even if you're, you know, not necessarily leading from an authoritative position, maybe you're on a team of equals in terms of power, you can still lead by example. You can still be an inspiration and a model to people, whether you're leading up, leading sideways, leading down. We might be afraid of how we'll look if we set a boundary, but the truth that I have found in all my work with a variety of people is that actually people who set boundaries with confidence and with respect and with honesty and with love tend to come off as really balanced, powerful, confident people who have self-respect. And that they tend to be people that others admire. So as much as it's natural to be afraid of looking a certain way, if you're setting your boundary with integrity, and of course we're not talking about trying to get away with doing as little work as possible and shirking your responsibilities. We're talking about boundaries that you've really considered and that you're setting for the greater good of you and for everyone involved. You're actually tending to be somebody who comes off as very confident and respectful and full of self-respect. So here's the thing. Even when you're successful setting boundaries, whereas with some things you feel really great right after you accomplish them, there are certain goals that we kind of say, oh, yeah, after we accomplish them. With boundary setting, sometimes you actually just feel a little sick afterwards. And Brené Brown, who I talk about all the time because her work is just so important and pervasively effective, you know, for so many organizations, she talks about vulnerability hangovers, because she talks and writes a lot about vulnerability. And I just love that phrase. I have boundary setting hangovers. And I'm someone who I consider myself, as I mentioned many years ago, I had this aha and I went on this quest to improve my own boundary setting. And at this time in my life, I consider myself to be really good at setting boundaries. And yet there are still times where I'll take a vulnerability hit when I need to set a boundary, when I need to say no, or when I need to enforce a boundary that's already established, or when I've set a clear boundary and somebody's pushing it. And, you know, I care about that person, I like that person, I value being helpful. I mean, I'm in the field I'm in because I love to help people. So it can be really challenging to set and keep those boundaries. And sometimes when you maintain a boundary, you're going to have a boundary setting hangover. So we're going to talk also about how to handle that when you do set a boundary and you sort of have that feeling. And sometimes it just takes time. Like anything else in personal development, it takes some time to learn to do this, and that's okay. It takes practice. It'll get easier. It does get easier. And investing that time and energy will pay off hugely. Investing it in one relationship is going to show up in all your other relationships, which is kind of cool. You get a lot of bang for your boundary buck, if you'll excuse the excessive alliteration. So I want to give you a couple of exercises for when you're getting ready to set boundaries. So one thing you can do is to get really clear on why a boundary needs to be set. And this is about strengthening your conviction. So this boundary is important because. Why is it that it's important? I'm just going to use that email example again, partly because it's one that countless people talk to me about and talk just in the world about. So this feeling like I need to always be on my device, I need to text people right back, I need to email people right back. Why is it actually important for you to set a boundary around that? And so fill that in with as many things as you can. So setting a boundary around when I answer email is important because I need to be well rested and get enough sleep so that I can be at my best every day. Or, you know, because I want to be fully present when I am communicating with people so that I'm at my best. I mean, you can go on and answer as many things as makes sense, or maybe it's just that you're so pervasively on your technology that you're missing out on life as it's actually happening. So one sentence starter that I really recommend you work with is, this boundary is important because. You can also think about all the different areas of your life that it will impact if you set this boundary. So how will it impact your family? How will it impact your physical health? How will it impact your emotional health? How will it impact your sense of fun, your sense of joy? How will it impact your money, your financial? You know, there's just so many ways that you can look at it. Another way to strengthen your conviction when you're getting ready to set boundaries is an exercise called saying yes and saying no. And this is something that you can do whenever you feel like it's hard to say no. And think about, whenever you say no to something, what are you saying yes to? So, for example, saying no to answering my email right now is saying yes to spending time with my family, or saying no to going on this family outing means saying yes to being completely present with my friend who I already committed to spending some time with this weekend. I'm just giving you a few random examples, but this exercise works for just about anything, and it will make more sense when you're using it in your own life. So whenever you're saying no, what are you saying yes to? You can also flip that around. Same exercise. So if I say yes to this, it feels good to say yes, right? We want to say yes to everybody. So maybe somebody comes up and makes a request of you, and you're having that gut feeling like, you know what, I really don't have the time to do this or the energy to do this effectively right now. But you might want to say yes. So you can ask yourself, okay, if I say yes to this, what am I actually saying no to? So maybe I'm saying no to doing an exemplary job in my other project. Or maybe I'm saying no to getting done on time the things that I already promised. Or maybe I'm saying no to getting enough sleep to restore me. So you could probably think of 25 things that you're saying no to for everything that you're saying yes to. And that can be a really good reality checking exercise. So again, a couple of exercises just to get clear on strengthening your conviction is, this boundary is important because. And you can also think about all the areas of your life, and saying yes, saying no. So if I say yes, what am I saying no to? If I say no, what am I saying yes to? Another thing you can do is use some sentence starters to get clear on whatever is actually blocking you. So the most common sort of overall things that tend to block people with setting boundaries, the first is something's going to be bad about me if I say this boundary, some fundamental thing. So you can try filling in the blank. I don't want to seem blank, right? So I don't want to seem ungrateful. I don't want to seem cold. I don't want to seem uncaring. I don't want to seem lazy, whatever it is. What is it that you think it will say about you if you say no or if you draw a boundary? Okay. And you can ask, after you've done that, you know, for a little self-coaching, and if you do have a coach or somebody who is in a helping capacity in your life, I really recommend that you, these are great things to work through with somebody. But you can really ask yourself with each one of those, you know, how true is that really? That, you know, if I say no, I'm fill in the blank, whatever that blank is that you don't want to see. Another common source of blocking is the fear that it's going to create some sort of an unpleasant situation. So if I say no, then blank might happen is your sentence starter there. So if I say no, then my boss might get angry at me. If I say no, then that client might not hire me. if I say no, then I might hurt my mother's feelings. So I'm just giving you random examples. So that's the sentence starter for the unpleasant situation. If I say no, then what might happen? What's the undesirable situation that you're worried will happen? And then you can sort of, the way to kind of coach through that is to, after you've got that list, you can think about, okay, so if that did happen, because it's possible, right? You can certainly ask how likely is that? And if you think it's likely, and you really feel like this boundary is important for you to set, you can kind of coach yourself through by thinking, okay, so what would I do if that were to come to pass? And the answer is always that you'll handle it. You'll always handle it. And you can say, I'll handle it. But you can really kind of think about, you know, what might you do if that were to come to pass? So you can handle it. Just really recommend to get really clear on what is it that you think the boundary will say about you that's bad, or what unpleasant situation are you worried might happen? And if so, what is it that you think will happen next if that happens? Another thing I recommend when you're getting ready to set boundaries, if you're feeling really stuck, is to have a boundary buddy, someone you can talk through things with if you're worried you're off base. So if you're worried maybe this is not a reasonable boundary, it can be great to have a boundary buddy just to kind of bounce ideas off of. And someone who you can call when you have a boundary hangover. If you have a coach or a therapist, that could be your check-in person. Also a good friend who you feel is just really grounded in reasonability and you feel like would have some good credibility with you if you wanted to kind of check in on whether something you're setting up is reasonable. And who can ask you questions and help you get clear. So once you've set the boundary, or decided to set the boundary, I should say, it's about communicating the boundary. It is your job to communicate your boundaries, and nobody else can do it for you. It's your job to communicate your boundaries, and no one else can do it for you. When you're ready to set your boundaries, a few tips. You want to be clear. You want to be concise, you want to be confident, and sometimes you want to be what I, just for the sake of, we were in C's, so I said sometimes crisp, and I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. So in terms of being clear, don't try to set a boundary, and I'm talking about sort of the higher stakes situations where you're feeling already a little bit triggered. Work through that stuff before you set the boundary so that you can show up and know exactly what it is that you're saying rather than kind of hemming and hawing and saying, well, I really don't, you know, like this, but I don't really know. You know, you want to be able to be really clear with exactly what boundary you're setting. So get clear on that yourself back in the getting ready stage. And you owe it to the people that you're speaking to be clear with them so that they can understand. And, you know, how could they honor your boundary if you're not clear with them? That's about taking responsibility again. You also want to be as concise as you can, right? That kind of goes with clarity, to be able to, you know, offer a boundary. You may want to offer a simple explanation, but you don't have to in many situations. And sometimes when we set a boundary, if we're really uncomfortable with setting boundaries, we will couch that boundary in all this explanation, and that's really often a way of just kind of apologizing for setting it. So if you notice yourself going on and on and on with all the reasons that you need to set a boundary, just do a little reality check. Is that really about the other person needing to know all that? And in some cases, maybe it does feel important for them to know. Or is it more about your own discomfort with setting a boundary? And so it's almost like the subtext is, I'm not a bad person, I'm not a bad person. You're just, you know, and maybe the little gremlin inside you is saying, you're a bad person for setting this boundary. In the most extreme language, you know, I'm just kind of cutting to the bottom line of what that voice might be saying. Of course, it can sound different ways. So you want to be clear, you want to be concise, and you can, with your boundary buddy or somebody that you're working through that with, you can kind of practice that language so that you get better at, or you can write it down. If you're a journaler, you can practice writing down what you want to say and then try to cut it into half as long and just kind of play with it. You also want to be confident, and that can be hard because confidence is something that we can't manufacture. But what you can do is think about your posture, right? Stand up straight, chin up, eye contact. And you can think about your tone of voice. Are you putting a question mark at the end of your boundary? So I don't want to check email in the middle of the night. Or are you really clearly delivering, I won't be checking email between the hours of such and such and such and such? You can have a warm, kind tone at the same time as having a very confident, direct tone. So think about, those are just a couple of things to think about with confidence, which is, of course, a huge topic that we could do a whole different show on. And sometimes crisp. And that has to do with really, it ties into confidence. The idea of sometimes when we try to set a boundary that we're not comfortable with, we have some unspoken ways of showing that. And one can be lingering eye contact where it's almost like we're asking for permission. So sometimes this might show up, you know, if you're a parent, I'm sure that you've experienced this before. You might set, or an educator, you might set a boundary and ask or tell your child to do something. And then you kind of hold the eye contact, not in the I'm watching to see that you do this way, but almost like giving them the opportunity to challenge you. Now, I'm all about back and forth communication and giving your children or your friends or your employees or whoever it is opportunities to speak back with you and engage with you and problem solve with you. But in some situations, that lingering eye contact, it's almost as if you're asking permission. You're looking for permission, or you're looking for somebody's blessing. So sometimes the crispness is about being clear, being concise, being confident, and then kind of being done. So are you asking permission, or are you kindly, respectfully informing somebody of a decision or information? That might not always apply, but it's worth mentioning and worth thinking about. I bet if you're listening and this applies to you, you're aware, you know, you're kind of going, oh, yeah, I definitely do that. It's usually something that if you think about it, you know whether that eye contact is that sort of approval-seeking eye contact. Another thing that you can do in communicating the boundary goes back to what I was saying about, you know, journaling or practicing with a buddy. Have a list of language that you can use. And there are lots of resources that you can use to do, you know, to kind of, you can even Google ways to say no, for example. But you can have a list of phrases that you're comfortable with. Sometimes we have challenges with things just because we don't know what words to use. So sometimes a simple no thank you will suffice. I'm going to say no for now. Thanks for asking, but I'm unavailable. I'd like to take a little space. You know what? I'll be fill in the blank tonight, so let's touch base tomorrow. So these are all, there's nothing disrespectful or rude about them, especially if you deliver them in a warm and respectful tone. But they're very clear, they're concise, they're confident, and they're sometimes, you know, you may be crisp, you can say, you know, I'll be doing such and such tonight, so let's touch base tomorrow, and then you can close your laptop or close up that part of your phone and just not further engage. And that has to do with honoring your own boundaries, right? So that once you've set a boundary, you need to kind of honor it on your own end. Another thing that you can do with things like email, some people find it really helpful to have an email signature or an email responder. So you can even have it in your email signature line or in your responder. I check email at blank and blank. So I check email at 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. If you need to reach me before then for something urgent, please call such and such a number. That's just one example. But it's perfectly okay to inform people of a boundary, and it's respectful to inform them of that boundary so that they know what's going on. Now, some of you who are not really struggling with that email challenge might think, wow, it's ridiculous that I would have to tell people when I check email. But some of you, if this is a real area of challenge for you, that might be a really helpful tool. Another thing about communicating a boundary is to tell people how to communicate with you. And so this has to do with kind of different methods or different mediums of getting in touch. Don't be upset with people if they use one method, if you haven't told them your preferred method. So if you really find it offensive to be called at home and you feel like, wow, the nerve of calling me during dinner time at home. You know, think about, have I actually communicated with this person how to reach with me out of my office hours? And if you haven't, then you can clearly, concisely, confidently express that to them and say, hey, you know, I wanted to let you know that the best time to reach me at dinner time or after such and such a time is to actually to email me, and I check my email in the morning. So when you think about all of these things that we've talked about so far, just take some time to get ready for the communication or to get ready to set the boundary and give yourself that gift so that when you enter the conversation, all that tension and all that sort of baggage that we all have that comes into these things has already kind of been cleared. So in a minute, we're going to talk about how to maintain boundaries after we've drawn them and maybe they're being tested. But first, I want to tell you about some things that we have coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network and on our partner networks. So if you have any questions or comments about anything that we've discussed and you're listening live, you can call in at 646-716-9397. And you know, I'm really interested whether it's by calling in now or sending me an email later, or you can contact me through my website. My email is carrie.spalding@gmail.com. What are you discovering today? Where are boundaries really tripping you up? What are you excited to put into action? What kind of big aha or big click did you have? Or what's your boundary goal? Maybe what questions do you still have? I'd love to hear from you, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to the archive and you want to check in later. So I'm going to tell you about some shows we have coming up, and then I'll take some calls if we have any. To tell you a little bit more about the Life Coach Radio Network in general, the network consists of coaches from around the world, and we're continuing to grow. We also have a sister international network as well, International Life Coach Radio, and a Life Coach chat channel as well. So we have a show on almost every single day, and sometimes multiple shows on the different networks, and so many interesting topics, and I encourage you to look around, check out the other upcoming shows, check out the archives. There are a lot of great shows in the archives. If you want to find my archive shows, you can either just, when you're on the Blog Talk Radio site, you can type in search Carrie Spalding or search the 30-something coach, and you can find me there. And I really just encourage you to check out all the different coaches. There's a lot of cool stuff. So to give you a little preview of the upcoming shows, tomorrow on Saturday the 28th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, we have How to Have Unlimited Confidence in Our Relationships. What a related topic to what we're talking about today. So this is with Shravatsky Superville. And on this show, he's going to talk about how to have unlimited confidence and how we can use that confidence to create fun and lasting relationships. That's on the International Life Coach Radio station at blogtalkradio.com/International Life Coach Radio. On Monday at 8, you can tune into the Spiritual Practice of Gratitude on Spiritually Speaking right here on the Life Coach Radio Network. And Reverend Jennifer Hope Kotler is going to be speaking with professional life coach Russ Terry, and he's going to be talking about the spiritual practice of gratitude. And Russ is actually our producer at Blog Talk Radio and our wonderful founder, and he's also a life coach and a speaker, and he is about to publish a book called My Gratitude Journal, 365 Days of the Things and People I'm Grateful For and the Lessons You Can Learn from Them. So you will not want to miss that one tomorrow at 8 on the Life Coach Radio Network. And then on Monday at 9 p.m., we have Frank Talk, What Horses Teach Us About Ourselves. And this is with David Frank Gomes, and he explores the art and science of creating a happy, meaningful life. So you can check that show out as well. He's going to have a guest speaker, Hillary Schneider, who is an equine guided facilitator, life coach, gifted intuitive, and empath. And she is going to be talking about her years of experience in human facilitation and equine facilitation as well. So that is really an interesting show, and I hope that you will check it out as well. And you can next hear me right here on the Life Coach Radio Network on Friday, October 11th at noon Eastern. And that's, again, right here on this channel that you're listening to now. So we're going to now kind of talk about maintaining the boundary that you've set. It's your job to maintain your boundaries, and no one can do it for you. Say it with me along at home. It is your job to maintain your boundary, and no one can do it for you. People will test, forget, misunderstand, or not care about the boundary you set. That's normal. That's people. So as hard as it can sometimes be, it's as important to keep the boundary and to maintain it and follow through as it is to set it in the first place. This teaches people, including yourself, that you mean what you say. It's almost most important that it teaches you that, that not only can you set a boundary, but that when you set it, you follow through. So let's talk about why it's hard to respect boundaries, which is, you know, a different question from what we talked about before about how it's hard to set them. Why is it hard to respect boundaries? It's important to think about this, both because most people have trouble respecting someone else's boundary at one time or another, including you, including me, and, you know, because it helps us when someone ignores or challenges a boundary we've set. So if we can understand where the other person is coming from, or at least try to understand, try to imagine, we can have compassion and we cannot take it personally, which can help us respond from a calm, grounded, and non-defensive place. So understand that oftentimes if people are testing or forgetting or misunderstanding or not caring about your boundary, that is very often not about you at all. It's really very often more about them and where they're coming from. Many people are well-meaning and are not trying to disrespect you, even if they are not respecting your boundaries. And many people similarly have had bad boundary models as well. So they may be struggling themselves to set and respect boundaries. So some reasons that it can be hard to respect boundaries. One is that they might not make sense to us. So we don't get it, right? They're not what we would do. We all make sense to ourselves. It's one of my favorite little Carrie-isms. We all make sense to ourselves. We have different priorities or personalities from the people that we're communicating with. And so sometimes it can be really hard for us to understand why somebody would set a boundary if it's completely different from our way of being, our way of doing things. So one thing that you can do here is to kind of, you know, I suggest exploring different priorities or personalities, you know, thinking through that lens with a partner or with somebody, a colleague or somebody you're thinking about. So a great question to ask yourself is, what is this person's highest priority? Or what about this person's personality might make it challenging for them to see where I'm coming from? It's often not personal. Another reason is that it's hard to respect boundaries because we're not getting what we want from somebody right now. So maybe we feel pressure. Maybe we feel, you know, this is something that I want and I'm not getting it. And we, as humans, sometimes we are programmed to fight and push for what we want. Sometimes we think that it's our job to do that. Right? So that isn't necessarily a healthy way of coming at things often, but it is a common way that people are trained to act, right? Some people live with the limiting belief, you have to fight for yourself or nobody will do it for you, right? You have to push for what you want. Another reason is that sometimes people may have just a totally different perspective. They might be privy to information you're not. So, for example, they might have a sense of urgency around a project that you're not aware of. They also have, we talked about this before with priorities and personalities, they have a different model for how you do things. So keep in mind, they had different parents, different teachers, different friends, different partners, different work back background, different professors, so many different perspective effectors, we can call them, from you. So they're going to have a different perspective. And it can be hard to respect boundaries when you have a really different point of view, or when your point of view is influenced by information that the other person's not aware of. So practice, one thing you can do is to really practice respecting other people's boundaries and really notice and maybe look for the hard to spot ways that you might do this. Do you run over other people's boundaries? Sometimes if you have a lot of trouble boundary setting, it's a sign that you might have trouble being mindful of other people's boundaries, or that you might have trouble honoring your own boundaries with yourself. We talked about some of those things that can show up that we don't maybe think of as boundaries that really are boundaries. So maybe your work is more about learning to truly respect the boundaries that you set with yourself, or to respect the boundaries that other people set. You don't have to like a boundary to respect it. It's okay not to like it. It's okay. And that's actually an important principle of thinking about when you're expecting someone else to respect your boundary. Are you also expecting them to like it? Because that may be unreasonable. It might be okay for them to respect it and not be super happy about it. Of course, in an ideal world, we can also leave with everybody happy, but it's okay. It can be enough just to sort of accept, okay, I have a different point of view on this, and I'm gonna respect the boundary that you set. So some strategies for actually maintaining boundaries once you've set them, if people push them or forget them or misunderstand them, which is really, really common and understandable. So one thing you can do is to call your boundary buddy. If you're feeling really frustrated, put on your safety mask before you try to deal with the other person. If you're triggered, if you're angry, if you have sort of a verbal diatribe, a mental diatribe going through your head, that's not the time to respond. And, of course, if this is happening in person on the fly and you're feeling really triggered, there are ways that you can kind of say, you know, I just need a minute to think through this, if you're really, really triggered, or use some of your self-soothing strategies to calm yourself down. But one thing is that you can talk to somebody else about it and talk through it. Another thing is to express appreciation for where the other person is coming from. So some ways that you can do that is you could say, and thinking about these situations where your boundaries are being pushed. So maybe you've told somebody that you are not able to talk about something this week, and like the next day they're showing up trying to talk to you about it. Or, you know, I can give some other examples for some of the next ones, but you can say, I can tell this is really important to you. Or, I'm so glad you want to talk. I'm looking forward to our conversation too. Or if it's about a project and you've already said that you're not able to work on it, you can't, maybe a client wants to hire you to do something and you've had to say no, you can reiterate, wow, it means so much to me that you really like my work and that you'd like to work with me. You know, thanks for being so interested in working with me. So you can honor and appreciate where the other person is coming from. Maybe I'll give you just a totally different example. Maybe boundaries can happen with roommates or with people, you know, in the house. So maybe you have a roommate who's always eating your food or using your stuff. That's a classic, classic, common boundary step. You can say, you know, you can say or at least think, you know, it sounds like this is the way you've always done things, so it makes sense that this is different. And then you can move into, let's talk about what our boundaries are going to be. So maybe think about it. Maybe this roommate has always lived with other roommates who are totally cool with sharing everything. Or maybe at least in their head, their roommates were always totally cool with sharing everything. Maybe the roommates never communicated about their boundary. So you can kind of honor and acknowledge, if you know that that's kind of the way that this person does things, or maybe that's the way their family grew up or whatever it is, you can honor that and say, oh, it seems like this is the way you've always done things, so it makes sense that this is confusing or different. And then you can reiterate, and as I expressed to you, it's really important to me that we ask before we take each other's things or whatever it is. So another thing you can do is clarify and change your mind if you want to from a grounded place. This is not about being a pushover or a sellout to your own boundaries. If you truly feel that with whatever new information you have from the person that you're talking to or dealing with, that whatever they're telling you trumps the boundary that you set in, from a grounded, genuine place, not from a place of feeling bullied or feeling scared into to making a change, you always get to make a different choice. It's okay to change your mind, or it's okay to change your mind this time and then communicate in the future, this is the boundary. So you can say, given what you shared with me, I'd like to actually adjust my plan. Next time, this is what I'd like to establish. So it's okay to change your mind. It's also okay to change your mind on a case-by-case basis and say, next time or in general, or just so that you know for the future, it's okay to change your mind if you feel like it's the right thing for you to do. Another thing you can do is look for boundary models and mentors. I always recommend models and mentors for anything that you're working on. So think about, you know, try to look and pay attention to people that you notice in business, in life, in relationships who seem to be really great at setting boundaries. Maybe they're good at setting boundaries with you. Maybe when you try to push, they set boundaries in a way that just seems like the way that you would like to do things. Maybe it's really respectful and clear, and you notice that they do a really good job of doing that. So you can have models and mentors, and then kind of give yourself the what would Sarah do, or what would Bill do, or whatever it is when you're having a challenge. So after you set a boundary, if you do have a hangover, a boundary hangover, and like I said, that's normal. I've had them myself. One thing that you can do, and I know I've said it before, is call a buddy. Just call someone and sort of say, oh my gosh, I'm having the worst boundary hangover and I feel sick to my stomach because I said no. And just kind of talk to somebody. You can also give it some time and space. So if you set a boundary and either you're worried that somebody's going to push back, or they did push back in a way that really didn't feel good, rather than ruminate on it right then and there, do something else. Give yourself that space. You may have fresh perspective or fresh conviction when you've taken a little break, and you can handle the response when it comes. If you're just anticipating it, if it does come, you'll handle it. And if it doesn't come, but you just kind of feel like you're having this vulnerability hangover, this boundary hangover, you can sometimes clear that energy by doing something else. So another thing is to celebrate. This is hard stuff. It's especially hard for some people, and it's a little bit easier for others, but most people struggle with it at one time or another. So if you have set a clear, respectful, reasonable boundary and you maintained it, and you communicated it and then you maintained it, and maybe even in the face of some pushback, give yourself a high five. Do a celebratory jog around the block. Look in the mirror and say, I am a boundary badass. I mean, whatever makes you be able to give yourself a little celebration, a little pat on the back. It's really important to honor yourself when you do these hard things. And another thing is know that it's always a process. You can learn and reassess from what happened. So you're going to experiment with setting a boundary. It's all a great experiment. And then you're going to learn from what happened, and then the next time you get to use what you learned to tweak the process. So we have talked today about setting boundaries and why it's important, why it's hard, and how to get ready to do it. We've talked about communicating boundaries. We've talked about respecting boundaries and maintaining boundaries. So think again about that area of your life in which you want to set a boundary. And think about one tiny step you could take based on what we learned today. You can listen to this show again in the archive. If you're listening live, you can listen to it again just by clicking the same link that you clicked on to get here the first time today. And if you find yourself drawing on these questions this week, these concepts this week, or if you have questions, email me or send me a message through my website or go to Facebook and you know, connect with me through my page there. And please tell me about it. I love to hear from you, and it helps me know what you're still needing help with and what we need to talk about in the future. If you're interested in coaching, I am currently accepting a few new clients. I have a few openings, so I'd love to hear from you if you think I could be a good fit for you. And I'm also available to come into your organization for speaking or workshops, so I can customize things just for you. As a wrap-up today, I want to really challenge you to make a commitment to yourself to try at least a couple of the exercises that you learned today. I hope these concepts have given you some insight into how you can set and communicate and maintain boundaries. And if you'd like to connect with me, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com, carrie.spaulding@gmail.com. You can call me at 602-684-2458. You can visit my website at www.carriespaulding.com. Or on Facebook, you can get to me at The 30-Something Coach. That's facebook.com/The30-Something Coach, all written out, all letters, no spaces. And on Twitter, I'm at Spaulding Carrie. So listen again, tune in to our upcoming shows on all of our networks, and have a wonderful day.